You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas to all.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, let's keep it going. For those who are new to our service, it's at VRTrader.com, Leibovit VR Newsletters. All the same, it's 50% off of any new subscriber using the promo code 2022 half off. So go to the VRTrader.com website, pick your newsletter, and enter the 2022 half off promo code when you place your order. And as I always do, we do make that disclaimer that though in the past I've been, but no longer, I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. But I do express my opinion about markets and stocks, and we've been doing this since 1979.
The Dow ended the week down, but it had a tremendous year. Is the upward trend going to continue in the new year?
Well, I'm a little on the cautious side. You know, cycles indicated, as I mentioned, you know, we run into December, particularly around the winter solstice, around the 21st of December, you tend to get directions change in the market. And sure enough, we got a bit. The Dow, I think, had its worst 10 or 12-day down period for many decades in terms of days, not in terms of points. But change of direction is sort of in the air a little bit here, and the markets are way overdone. I think profit-taking started a little early here, considering normally you wait till after the first of the year for tax purposes. So my I've said this before in previous interviews. I mean, I'm thinking we should have a correction in the first quarter. And ideally, you have a low around the vernal equinox in mid-March. So it doesn't mean straight down. You know, it could be early in February. So we have the great Groundhog Day on February 2nd. The market tends to be sloppy one or two weeks either side of that. Happens at the Groundhog Day overlap cycles at that point or as part of a cycle. So, you know, I'm influenced by the cyclic picture, and certainly the market's high enough here. So, yeah, I'd be looking for a pullback, not necessarily the end of the bull market. I'm very excited, as many are, about Donald Trump getting into the White House, but we have, unfortunately, a lot of what I call and others have called swamp creatures out there. And the swamp creatures are trying to muss things up for him intentionally, you know, put the blame on. We get all kinds of stories here about government, economic government reports, weapons being sent to Ukraine, the whole kit and caboodle of stuff just to create problems for him. And it's all intentional. You know, it's sore losers, I guess, is what it's all about. In any event, we have to overcome all that nonsense. And, you know, we may get, you know, some of those impacting the performance of the markets here after the first of the year, particularly after he's inaugurated. So we have to be prepared for the swamp creature attack. And so we'll see where all that goes. But I think overall, if we can get them out of the way, then we, you know, we should see some positive action in the market. I don't know if we're going to get the same percentage gains that we saw this past year after so much has already occurred. But I still think it could be a positive market, particularly if some of the actions that he's Donald Trump's talking about are implemented. Plus, on the geopolitical side, I mean, we read articles now of him waiting to talk to Trump directly. They're already indirectly, I guess, in some type of communication. And, you know, Donald's promise that he could try to solve the Ukraine war quickly. We know what he did in Israel. In the Mideast and his prior administration with the Abraham Accords and so forth. I know the Muslim community in Michigan, for example, was very strong backing Trump, which really surprised me. Many of them have, you know, liberal tendencies or democratic tendencies in the past, but they said, no, we want peace. And Trump was able to provide that, so we want him in the White House, not Biden. So we have a lot of interesting things going on here, and the end result should be a positive outcome.
What do you think is going to go on with gold?
I think I'm looking for more of a pullback. We've talked about this before. I'm looking, the gold rally exploded after the Hamas invasion in last October, and that was part of the fear aspect of gold too. I mean, there's economic aspects and stuff, but I think with Trump coming in, and hopefully he's successful, that placates a lot of the fears, and you might see gold settle back here more. So a pullback, I usually use numbers 200, 500, 1,000, these type of numbers in my calculations. So, 500 points off the top would get you back down to about 2,300 or so. So, that's possible here in the next couple, 3 months or so. Not to say that gold doesn't have its value, but we also learned that the BRICS nations really didn't pull off anything in their big meeting in Russia in November. So expectations are really high. And, look at all the years we waited for gold to finally break out and move. And it had a nice move up to 2,800. But we've also seen periods where it languishes for a long period of time. And you do get these sharp corrections. So barring some type of external event, some aberration of some kind out there, a black swan or whatever event, then, I'd be looking to do a little fishing under the market. Now, that said, the gold shares may start doing better, if their costs start to look like they're coming down. Crude oil is dropping here a little bit, overhead production costs and, cost of energy and so forth could help bring some profits to the bottom line for some of these companies that had problems before now. So even, gold at 2,300, 2,400, 2,200, still the high price, and these companies should still make money. And, some of them have some geopolitical labor issues around the world. I think Newmont Mining had some. But I think you might see the shares start to come back here a little bit, even if gold's correcting a little bit, because maybe they're getting their act in order. So shares may be a better play in 2025 than the metal itself.
What's happening in the crude oil market?
Crude oil is under pressure, and I'm more of a fan of natural gas, but I like the company better than the oil, and particularly with Trump opening up the spigots, and hopefully that should create more supply, and I think the public's going to love it, particularly here in the U.S. Of course, if gasoline prices start to drop, which is the opposite of what we saw under the Biden administration, so oil may underperform for a while. Now, there could be some external, again, black swan event, some type of thing we can't predict that would force them to go higher. Maybe Trump will start, refilling the emergency oil reserve, which was neglected on the part of the Biden administration. Maybe that'll supply some buying incentive for oil to hold up. Big picture, there's big demand for oil. We still need it more than, obviously, for gasoline and stuff like that. We talked about this ad nauseum about all the other applications. So, big picture, there's still big demand for it. But I'm just wondering, near term, I see no reason why it should explode. Now, as I mentioned with the gold shares, the oil companies have a similar situation. They've been able to make money with oil at present prices. And we saw that in recent months with Exxon's report, for example. So, and they're all a bit depressed right here. Plus, there's a cycle that often comes in December for oil. That is some type of low point. And we may be at or near that low point, which is just a cycle that oil tends to go through, which means you might get a rally out of here for the next few months just because the shares themselves have been depressed. And whether oil itself takes off along with it, or it's the shares, or both, we'll see. But normally at the time, we'd be looking for some type of bounce. Doesn't mean it's a big turn, but perhaps a tradable bounce. But overall, I think oil is under a bit of pressure with the increased supply supposedly coming. And that's good news for consumers. High oil prices are a tax on consumers. And oil prices really start to come down. That helps the economy and should ultimately help the stock market.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, anything happening with uranium?
It's been a bit of a correction for the last couple months. If you look at the uranium charts, it's been, you know, going down, 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 and correcting. Of course, it had a big move up as well. So that was sort of surprising. I guess perhaps we got overly excited about the uranium, the nuclear craze. You know, may have just peaked out here a little bit in terms of pricing. Not to say it's over in any measure of amount. A lot of utility companies with the nuclear plants and so forth. You know, all that story's been out for a while with big companies like Constellation Energy being at least supported by Microsoft to get that Three Mile Island operation back underway. So I just think it got ahead of itself. And, a lot of the big shares like Cameco have done well, but, you know, they made big peaks and have pulled off here a little bit. So no bearish comment. It's just that they're overly extended, and they have been, particularly uranium itself, has been under a little bit of a correction. So I just think it got ahead of itself. We could say the same thing about the stock market getting ahead of itself. So some of the big names getting ahead of themselves, too. And even a stock like Tesla, which, you know, of course, I'm a big fan of Elon Musk and everything, regardless of the political connection he made with Trump. But, look at the Tesla stock. I mean, it was languishing in the mid-200s. Everybody was negative. Next thing you know, it's at all-time highs. It's, you know, back nearly $500 a share. But even so, it got way ahead of itself. And in the last few days, it's pulled off from that level about 70 or 80 points, and it's corrected that big run-up. So same thing with whether it's uranium or any subject, and, you know, too much of a run-up, you're going to get a correction. So I think the bottom line is it just ran up too much. You're in a corrective phase. We got overly excited about nuclear. A lot of the alternate nuclear energy stocks had big pushes higher, just like big names non-nuclear, like NVIDIA or Microsoft or, Facebook, Meta, and all those. That whole group that just got ahead of themselves. So I just think it's in a corrective phase here. We have to digest it. So I think the whole market is sort of in that situation. You know, the irrational exuberance that Greenspan talked about may be the key phrase here.
Anything going on with cannabis?
Nothing. It's been really dead. There's an article I put in my newsletter, came out in the last week or so. You may have seen it, where the rock star entertainer Elton John comes out with a statement about how cannabis is bad for you, and it's an entry-level drug, which is something the industry really didn't need, since it's looking for some type of support. In truth, many have argued for the longest time that, you know, cannabis is an entry-level drug. It is not good for you. But on the health side, we see a lot of retired people, elderly people using cannabis, using CBD and so forth, claiming a lot of positive results. So, that Elton John story didn't do them much good. But the big story is not so much that as it's the government, you know, whether cannabis is going to get rescheduled here in the U.S. from Schedule 1 down to 3, and whether the long-awaited Banking Act is cleaned up and gets enacted so that the companies can conduct business in a normal fashion, because federal law is negative and the IRS treats the companies negatively on a tax basis because they're dealing supposedly in an illegal substance and they can't claim expenses on their tax returns, and it's really a serious accounting issue. So, you know, we got to get the Banking Act cleared, and whether that's going to happen with the Republicans, many of which are sort of conservative and not so excited about cannabis to begin with, and of course whether the DEA here in the U.S. is going to reschedule it down to a less onerous ranking at 3. So a lot of things have to happen here. That said, there are a few small companies out there, a couple of which were dependent on the Florida November election to expand their operations in Florida, and that did not pass. But despite that, some of these small companies are still making money. They're not Canadian companies, they're U.S.-based companies. So I suppose that's the bottom line. If some companies that conduct themselves in illegal states like Florida, maybe not to the extent that they'd like to, can still make money. At some point, these stocks may have a turnaround. But I think it's a combination of that and the government two things that we talked about, the EA and Banking Act, that really have to come into play before we could see any sustained move here.
What happened to Bitcoin? It dropped below $95,000.
Yeah, and I'm looking for $73,000. So I mentioned that previously in the last couple of weeks. Yeah, it's way overdone. I'm a chartist. You know, it doesn't mean the charts work 100% all the time, Jim, but that was your big breakout point. We talked about it before it broke out above 73. I kept saying if it breaks out above 73, then we can get a run maybe up to 88, and then obviously it went a lot further than that, up to 108. So it's way extended. So, you know, if you own it, the flow of prices, if, you know, Trump is behind it, the world is behind it, BlackRock and Larry Fink are behind it. So eventually going to probably go with one analyst out there. I think his name is Tom Lee, who's on CNBC. I think I mentioned that last week's interview. He went on television. He's talking about 250,000 Bitcoin next year. I guess anything is possible, but I want to be a buyer on a pullback, so I'm waiting.
On the geocosmic front, anything to keep an eye on?
As I mentioned, the winter solstice is really the big event, and we have a December 30th, which is Monday, a new moon coming in. So sometimes you get a change of direction, and this is a trading comment. Sometimes you get changed directions around the lunar cycle, so you might see something there, maybe a trading low on Monday or Tuesday. And beyond that, on the solar front, I checked the spaceweather.com website before we went on the air, and everything's quiet there in the sun. So in terms of solar activity, there's nothing really expected. So the other big story we didn't cover, which has been in the news and still is around the world, are those drones that are flying around. And if those of you come to my website, you'll see an interview with a Dr. Stephen Greer, who's been really on the forefront for decades with regard to the UAPs, UFOs, drones, and so forth. It's a very interesting interview about what he thinks is really coming. And he sort of hints that some type of big announcement is supposedly coming. Maybe either just after the election, inauguration, or right after or before it, because some of the bad players out there that have been keeping a lot of these government secrets under wraps for decades may want to come out into the limelight and let things loose. We've already had some disclosures that were before Congress already. I don't want to get into all the details, but I'm sure your listeners know what we're talking about in the UFO sector. So this Dr. Stephen Greer interview is really worth interest, some interest, and we'll see if there's some further disclosures coming out in January or after January. Should be interesting times. I'm not holding my breath between you and me. I've been following this sector for decades, and we never seem to get the disclosures and the information that we like, but it seems to be breaking out now a little bit. So I guess you would throw that under the category of geocosmic, sure.
Well, I remember Bill Clinton promising we'd learn the truth about UFOs and the Kennedy assassination, and nothing but crickets.
That's right. That's right. So we can have long discussions about the cover-up and the suppression of news here. And I'm a stock market analyst, trader, and so forth, but I'm an avid follower of that subject, and I have since I've been a teenager, believe it or not. So you're looking at over 60 years of following this, interviewing people, actually knowing people that have produced research and documentaries on the subject in the film industry, and learning a lot about what's going on with regard to the cover-up and stuff. So, we can touch on this very briefly. I know we have a short interview, but there's no question about it. There's a secret government running those operations. Congress doesn't even know about them. Some people breaking out now and trying to inform legislators about what's really been happening, that money's been siphoned off for secret projects, devices that have been created, stuff that's been flying around, or secret devices that have been either re-engineered from alien craft or something that we just created on our own that the public is really not aware of. And it's really unfortunate, because if this type of technology really exists, as apparently it does, then we're not all benefiting from it. It's really a tragedy, because it would lift civilization to much higher levels. So hopefully some of these disclosures are made. I think it's just a question of a few men holding keys to a lot of power. They don't want to release it. And some of the stories that I've heard would just blow listeners away in terms of what supposedly has been happening out there with regard to outer space and our ability to travel around and do things that are not publicly really talked about. So we'll find out. I don't know if I'll live long enough to see it all, but let's see if something comes through early next year when Trump takes office and some of the stories that Stephen Greer's been talking about are made public.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us, and have a great new year.
Same to you and all our listeners. Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on X at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.